Four.
He said four. That's it.
This is really sensitive. All right. So, good evening. Good afternoon. My bad. Good afternoon, everyone. I'm going to go ahead and call the September 8th True Commission meeting to order. If we can go around the room, starting with Jeff, that would be great.
Jeff Clements, Council Research.
Raymond Day, Southeast CPAC.
Daniel Henry, True Commission.
Dr. Chairman, True Commission.
Bruce Tyson, Southwest CPAC.
Tommy Carter, Council Auditor's Office.
All right, now that everyone has been able to introduce themselves, if everyone had an opportunity to go through the minutes from the August 4th meeting, I would love to entertain a motion to approve the minutes.
Move approval of the August 4th minutes as presented.
Motion four and second. Any discussion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Show the motion adopted. All right, so do we have any public comment? Seeing that we have no public comment, we're speeding right along. We're at a number four. All right, auditor's report.
Sir, through the chair of the commission, the council auditor's office has released one report since the last True Commission meeting. Report number 680, the independent agency quarterly summary for the 9 months ended June 30, 2022, was released on August 15th of 2022. Some highlights from the quarterly summary. First off, the quarterly summary report is for the third quarter, or the first 9 months for the independent agencies. The city did not submit the third quarter report as they are working on the 2021 year-end audit. The last quarterly report we received from the city was for the year ended September 30, 2020. The city hopes to have the year-end quarterly summary report on time to our office, which would be 9/30/2022. For the independent agencies, JEA, all systems are projecting a balanced budget at year end. JEA is projecting to exceed its appropriation authority approved by City Council by approximately $270 million in the electric system, primarily due to fuel costs, which eventually will be passed on to end users, and by approximately $22 million on the water wastewater side due to additional revenue being received above budget. JEA is also planning to send additional dollars through to the capital budget for additional projects and for future expansion of the water wastewater system. Also, Moody's upgraded the wastewater, the water sewer bonds, and also bonds for the district energy system. So those bonds were upgraded. For JTA, all divisions are projecting balanced budgets at year end. The general fund / engineering division projects an overall favorable budget variance or surplus of $10 million due to the sale of surplus property. JTA is projecting a surplus of $11.6 million in the bus division, mainly due to larger than anticipated funding in the half-cent sales tax and also the final ARP dollars that were received. And then the Skyway and the general fund are both projected to exceed their appropriation authority and will require amendments to their budget. The Skyway, the reasons for that is that it's basically for continued maintenance on the Skyway system. The cars are pretty much obsolete, and so the parts are getting harder to find, and parts are starting to break down. The car is breaking down. And also for the general fund engineering, that's due to contract management on projects, on additional construction projects. For JPA, the Port Authority, there's no budgetary stress projected at year end. We're projecting a surplus of nearly $6 million, primarily in the revenue line, break bulk and cruise ship revenue, along with they had some ARP funding of $4 million that came through the city, but that's being used for their for some of the capital outlay. And so that's the $4 million for the current year is contributed toward the projected surplus as well, because not as much is being used for PAYGO, for their PAYGO to on their construction. They use the $4 million in lieu of the PAYGO. For JAA, JAA is projecting an overall surplus of approximately $22 million due to additional operating revenue above budget in car rentals, parking, passenger facility charges, and they also have COVID funding of $14.5 million. The overall surplus is expected even with about $5.3 million in excess costs and debt service costs related to additional debt being issued for the Boeing project. Overall, JTA has received $134.2 million related to all of the COVID fundings, the three tranches that came out, the CARES Act, the CARISA, and the ARP. JAA has received $43.5 million out of the $64.7 that has been awarded to date. And then JPA, they received a total of $17.7 million in COVID funding, $4 million being used, as previously said, and the other was coming, other part was coming from the federal government through the state to JPA. So that's kind of a quick overview of the report, if anybody has any questions. None? Okay. Yes.
None about the report. It's just sort of a general knowledge question. So when we borrow long-term through the authorities or directly from the city of Jacksonville, what is our interest rate that we would say if we were going to float a 30-year bond issue? What would be the approximate interest rate? Based on the current market conditions? Because it's a municipal tax-free.
Right. Well, right. And you're talking city and or independents. Independents are, a lot of them issue their own debt for themselves.
Right.
I don't know what the interest rates
but
are.
But they would,
right now.
Those are typically tied to, those are going to be revenue bonds typically.
Typically,
all
yes.
Right, because there's a defined revenue source
right.
Because they don't have general taxing authority.
Correct.
Whereas the city of Jacksonville could do either. It could do revenue bonds backed by a specific revenue stream or a general obligation bond, which I, if I remember correctly, is going to be funded by ad valorem taxes, something from the general fund.
The city, if I could jump in,
well,
the city
do.
Has not done a general obligation bond in many, many years.
I didn't think so.
What they do since, at least in the last maybe 8 or 10 years, is they do what do they call it? The
commercial paper.
Covenant pledge.
Yes.
Which is basically, instead of a single revenue stream, they pledge all of the city's available revenues with the exception of ad valorem taxes, which is left out. So they don't pick a particular sales tax or a gas tax or a solid waste user fee. It's just the whole basket of everything that the city has,
revenues.
Except for non-ad valorem. We pledge all of it and just basically pay it out of the city's revenues.
Typically, how long of a bond issue would those be? Does it vary based on the project?
It does.
Yeah.
It varies.
It varies based on what they're borrowing for, and I've heard this speech a number of times at the Finance Committee. Like every year when they do the debt affordability study, they talk about how they do a mixture of borrowing lengths based on what it is that they're borrowing for.
They will go to the markets one time, and then they will essentially ladder the maturities of the issue.
Do some 5 years, some 10 years, some 25 year. If we're buying a combination, we're doing park renovations. We're building a library. We're
depending on the project.
Depending on
and
what
if it's
it
a extremely short term, the city will issue commercial paper.
Right. And when the interest rates were zero for the last, you know, 5-6 years, that's all pretty much all we issued was commercial paper because it was just rock bottom cheap. Over the last year and a half or two, they've been fixing out a lot of that into fixed rates because clearly interest rates are going up, so they're locking in the lowest rates they can get for longer term borrowing.
Where can I find a schedule of all the city's debt?
Debt affordability study.
Yeah, the debt affordability study.
And that was just released within, what, the last 2 months, 3 months?
Yes.
And I know we got a copy of
you
that.
Yeah, I sent it to you. It's also going to be in the budget.
The proposed budget submitted in July.
Well, the current year.
The debt affordability study is going to be the better place to find it.
Okay.
But that's... Yeah, and they've got all kinds of charts showing how much we're paying off, how much we're proposed to borrow over the next few years. They did make a point at the finance budget hearing this year of how much they have been paying down. They've paid down like over $1 billion of debt in the during the Curry administration.
Last 7 years.
Yeah.
Also, the... annual, it's a year old data, but when the new fiscal year 21 comes out, there's a whole section of all the bonds and everything.
In the CAFR?
Yes, in the annual financial report.
Comprehensive annual financial report.
Actually, it's been renamed.
It has been renamed?
Yes.
They dropped comprehensive?
No, it's the annual financial comprehensive report.
ACFR.
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 Reason being was that the term CAFR was
South Africa.
South Africa.
In South Africa, and that's a...
That's a big... And mm-hmm. So the one of the...
It's a slang term? A bad slang term?
It's a very derogatory term. And so... But that's what everybody was calling their financial reports. And when it... goes international accounting and all that, they made the point of saying.
Okay, so it's now the annual financial comprehensive report.
I think it's annual comprehensive.
Annual comprehensive financial report, ACFR.
Yes.
Okay.
ACFR, yes.
And they made sure that didn't offend anyone.
I sure hope so.
I think so, but yes. So that's been a change within the last year or two.
And that is typically issued within about 6 months of the end of the fiscal year.
On normal day, yes.
But normal. And I understand the last few years we've never met the...
Well, since we've had one cloud.
The fiscal year ends September 30th, and it's the financial report is due to the state by June 30th. Of the next
year, 9 months out.
And we missed it 2 years ago, and last year, I think, didn't they get it in on the 30th?
On June 30th? No,
June 30th.
Last year was...
And then 1 year, we were barely under the statutory deadline, beyond which we would have basically been big-time trouble from the state, correct?
Although, again, they said that they are in constant communication with the state auditor's office, the Joint Legislative Audit Review Committee. They understand our problem. They're being very nice about it, giving us time to get it fixed. But so it's not like we're just not doing it, but they're telling them what our problem is.
Is the expectation that at the end of September, that by the time we're required to issue the next ACFR, we will have it on time by the June 30th deadline? Is that the expectation, or is there beginning to be wiggle room?
They're saying that now they're being able to get reports out by the 15th of the following month, the close of the month prior to. So the expectation is that it should be.
They've caught up on doing their monthly.
Yes.
Month-end reports, and
okay.
So that ought to lead to a year-end report on time.
Yes. Well, just for closing the books on the city's accounting system, closing the month out.
reports. Why aren't they able to do the quarterly reports?
Well, they've just, from what I understand, this just happened, one. Two, they are trying to get, they're putting everything, they all their resources into trying to get the annual report closed for 2021.
Excellent.
9/30/2021.
I don't know whether this is more of a legal question, but you can answer it. I meant to ask this at the last meeting, but honestly, I forgot to do it. When the comptroller was here and last, I was reading the code regarding quarterly reports, and it specifically says that the city's required to issue a quarterly report every single quarter, and there's no language in there that gives the ability for the city just to ignore that. So I'm curious how we've been able to kind of get away with that for 2 years without any kind of bill or ordinance that essentially waives that requirement.
That would be a question for that, but it's above my pay grade. that would be a legal question, I would believe, just to.
Yeah, the council has never taken any formal action to waive that requirement that I'm aware of. I mean, sometimes they waive things that are required by the code if it can't be done for some reason, but they have not waived that I know of.
Not that I know of either.
Can we officially ask that question? I don't know whether that's directed to the council auditor, the council secretary, or OGC.
That's probably a question to the general counsel's office, but I don't know that they take questions from the True Commission.
Then can we officially ask the council auditor and the council secretary? Or is I'm trying to figure out who I direct that to without wasting our time.
Good question.
Or is it more appropriate to the CFO because they're the ones, the Department of Finance is the one that's responsible for issuing it? So
that's probably the best way to go. You can certainly communicate your concerns to him and see what his response is.
I know this is not a point of contradiction that we've probably had for the last 2 years. Does anyone else have any opinions about asking that question? I don't want to seem as if I'm like the lone wolf on that one.
As a motion, how would you verbalize that?
If I were to present it as a motion, I don't know what I can actually do since I'm the chair. it would be in the form of a formal request to the CFO with the council auditor CC'd that cites the specific section requires the city to provide a quarterly summary and to detail the council or the Department of Finance has sought a waiver of that requirement, and if they have not sought a waiver of that requirement, is there a reason why the report has not been furnished based on the service?
And if they have requested a waiver, what is their authority for such a request? Do you have sufficient detail for that, Jeff?
Yeah.
So moved.
So.
I just don't like it when they ignore things like that. Is there a second to that motion? Okay. Any discussion?
All right. So can you read that back to us a minute?
the True Commission is going to inquire of the CFO with a CC to the council auditor's office if they have sought a waiver of the ordinance code requirement that a quarterly report, quarterly financial report or budget report? Quarterly financial report be produced and citing the chapter and verse in the code of the requirement.
Does that catch the extras of what Raymond said as well?
And if they have, what is their authority for requesting such a waiver?
I know council can waive anything it wants to if it really wants to. I just haven't seen them waive that requirement. And I can't just imagine that they don't know about it.
And is this a requirement that is imposed statutorily by the state or simply by City of Jacksonville as policy under our ordinance code? Requiring a quarterly report. Are the monthly reports required by ordinance?
Or is that just quarterly reports?
Annual report.
That's required by the state.
By the state. Quarterly reports required by ordinance, meaning city council as the policy-making body. And then the monthly reports are just produced administratively under the accounting system.
Two of the three.
With the annual reports being late.
At a certain point, you start to, like, if every other county's been able to, but I won't go down that road.
Motion, we have a second.
Sorry, motion and a second. Any further discussion? Thanks for keeping that track. Seeing none, any all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed?
And do we want that to be in the form of a letter from the chairman to the CFO?
Is that the only option, or what?
You can pass a resolution.
Request from the True Commission, he would sign the letter as the chair.
Okay.
I think that's probably the appropriate, form of transmittal.
Okay.
The letter would make the request. The letter comes from the True Commission. You sign as chair for the True Commission.
Draft one up and send it to you.
Once, if I get one, well, I was. That's why I was thinking of the people, because there's only real two offices that really have to, based on the ordinance code, and that's the council auditor's office and the CFO. The only two places that's cited in our ordinance that really speaks to aid that we're supposed to receive. Everyone else is just whether or not they want to respond to us. So that's why I was asking that question earlier. The second question I had, it was part of the finance committee hearings from the handouts that Jeff had sent from August the 26th. And it included a two-sheeter of how the first tranche of the American Rescue Dollar Plan dollars were spent, and then how the second was spent. It was like a brief kind of summary that had the line items and the dollar amount, if that sounds familiar to you.
Slightly, but
it does. Yeah, the committee asked early on in the process to see a list of all of the uses of the ARP money. So they handed out that list of long string of what they had used it for already and what they were proposing to use the second tranche for.
Okay. Then maybe your encyclopedia knowledge would be able to answer this. On the first tranche, when it was talking about for-profit and non-profit business support and for-profit and non-profit business support and AEDs and EWU. Since they have the dollar amounts, Do they have a listing of every entity that received those dollars?
I believe somebody put that list together. I thought it might be the auditor's office.
I don't know. It may have been.
At some point, sometime this year, I think somebody said, can we get a list of everybody who's gotten that money? And I thought it was the auditor's office. Might have been finance. Yeah. But I do believe that a list of everybody that got money, private organizations that got the money, has been assembled.
If it's possible, can we get a list of that? And were they required to sign anything when they got those dollars in terms of any kind of requirements?
That I don't know, other than I would assume that they would sign something that said they're going to use it for ARP eligible purposes. But I've never seen what they sign, so.
Yeah,
that's just an assumption on my part.
Yeah, because I know that we doled out a lot of dollars, but I never really heard a discussion in terms of what these organizations signed or what requirements they were under.
Part of it, they agree to use it what's eligible to be used for. I don't know if who or what would be, you know, going behind and checking on that. Federal dollars. Getting back to your question, you want a list of everybody that received the ARP dollars?
And then a copy of whatever agreements they signed. Then I didn't know what was premium. Sometimes what it says is probably what it actually is. But when it said premium pay, one-time payments, were those
city employees?
That's what I thought. Okay. All right. And then the roadway surfacing, the water, wastewater subfund, and then the UF dollars. UF dollars is kind of separate, but at least for the two infrastructure-related ones, how does that kind of work with the fund that we have for the half penny? Does it go in the same place? Is it considered a CIP? I mean, how do those dollars kind of play a role?
That's a good question. They're assigned to projects. I think some projects that were going to be funded with, say, gas tax or whatever, they switched over to ARP money since that was available, and that freed up gas tax, for instance, to be used on other projects. I think some of it is, yeah, I think basically that's how it worked, is that they took a list of CIP projects and said, what can we put ARP into? Either to supplant or maybe to add additional capacity that we didn't have before if you were just going to depend on sales tax or gas tax.
And I'm assuming the water is a wastewater system fund. Is that part of JEA or is that something that's different?
I think that's the city's contribution to septic tank phase outs, if I'm not mistaken.
That would mean that of the first tranche, we only spent 43% of it was infrastructure. For the second half, I guess it's another payment towards the
septic tanks.
Five. Do you know anything about the workers' comp, heart and hypertension, the $10 million that went to that, and the healthcare claims paid? Because I thought those were kind of weird that came out of ARP funds.
I don't really have any expertise in that. I do know that the cost of the heart and hypertension Those costs going up is related to police and firefighters with the state law changed a few years ago that added a presumption that any heart or hypertension issues that they suffer are presumptively work-related and so eligible for workers' comp.
And then the electricity utility bills for city venues?
I don't recall any discussion of that in any meetings that I've been in, so.
Last question, then I will stop torching you. The way the contingency works for 2024, Q1 2025, so essentially the money is set aside. Does that, when they pass the budget, does that mean they can't touch it until that time, or is it just a set-aside, like below the line or something?
The $73 million is a set-aside in anticipation of the new mayor coming into office the next year. Council could appropriate it for any purpose at any time. And in fact, several people suggested that why are we sitting on this money when there's lots of good things that need to be done? And I think it was Brian Hughes that said we have a lot of money this year. We're kind of rolling in money, so we thought the prudent thing to do was to put aside a chunk for the next administration to come in. They're going to have their own ideas. They have platforms they ran on. They're going to need money to do something with. And they're only going to have 2 weeks to make a budget when they get sworn into office. So they just thought it was prudent to set aside that chunk and let the new mayor have at it.
Other questions I had on those two. Any other questions?
On the quarterly?
Yes.
I see any other questions on the quarterly?
Oh, no.
Oh, okay. Well, one other item, follow-up item. Last meeting, we were asked at the council auditor's office, based on Mr. Freeman, I believe it was, that was here, and they had the ITD's plan to do an inventory of employee computer access. I was asked if the council auditor's office was aware of ITD's plan to do an inventory of employee computer access rights when past audits were being conducted and that had findings in that area. As stated, I would speak with the audit manager. I just recently spoke with him, mainly due to all the budget work that was going on. The short answer is we weren't aware of any plans that ITD was planning to do this inventory. However, when an audit's being performed, we're actually looking into the past of what was done. So even if they said we have a plan, still put it in report what we found, in the past. Now, if they said we have a plan and the plan was being implemented or whatever, we would make note in the report, or they could very well include it in their response that they have a plan. So the short answer is they had a plan at the time. We didn't know of when they started with coming up with the plan. I'm not going to speak for Mr. Freeman. I don't know when they came up with the plan to do this.
Allowed that same question too.
And so that's an answer to what I was requested. One other point, now that the Finance Committee budget hearings are completed, our office is moving back to working on audits and follow-ups and getting back into our regular duties and questions. That concludes my report.
Roberts is usually the one that talks about legislative tracking, but are there any individual members that were paying attention to some of the bills that went out and had any bills that they got interest with? Okay.
Is Mr. Roberts okay? used absence request or just?
He broke a hip.
Oh, did he really?
Yeah, a couple of months ago.
That's why he was out last month.
Yes. Okay. I have not talked to him since.
Do you have his phone number?
I do upstairs. I can send it to you.
Are we allowed to communicate?
As long as we don't talk about business. Okay.
All right, just want to make sure.
On a personal basis, okay. Yeah.
For the record. On the chair's comments, I had a question based on what you just said. When we asked Mr. Freeman, thank you, Mr. Freeman, about the reports that we wanted to get back, I know we had asked once the whole project was complete. But if my memory serves incorrectly, didn't we also ask for something like a write-up of what they're actually doing now beforehand? Or did I?
I believe they were supposed to get back with a report to you in February of 23.
Their goal, my recollection is that they were going to complete this research by the end of the year, and we would report back. I thought we had requested January. They requested a little bit more time, so that's why we did the February, if I remember.
Yes, I think you all said January, and then later in the meeting, after he had left, you said, oh, you know what, we meet early January. Why don't we give them another month until February?
All right. Just wanted to make sure. I don't have much updates other than what I saw in the discussions that I was able to, which, barring any surprises, I didn't see anything that was really kind of past experiences. The one thing, though, I asked Jeff to hold on to the resolution because he had gotten some last-minute edits from Commissioner Day before I signed it. I just want to make sure everyone agreed with the language. That was what we all agreed to. So
those edits are incorporated in this document.
Okay. Yes.
That's what I thought.
And they're very minor, just grammatical stuff, nothing substantive.
So...
Yes, sir. Question. On paragraph 5, maybe that's the way I'm reading it over, but you look at the, it says to the deficit, the fourth line down, it says to the deficit needs to be added to the projected and the population growth approximately 2% determined. There should be there a 2 determined?
Yes. Determine the full annual hiring needs.
That's
okay. Thank you.
1, 2, 3, 4, fifth to that deficit.
Whereas combining the populations.
Approximately 2% should be a 2 after that.
2 determined. Yes, you're right. Okay.
Did we catch the last line I had said before we passed it about
I did.
Technically, it came from you.
I think the language from Commissioner Chambliss said to mention in the whereas clauses officer training, intervention programs, youth programs, etc.
Training opportunities is in the second to last whereas.
On the first or second page?
Second page. Second to last whereas. Provide opportunities for officers to undertake training opportunities that they desire and would benefit their skills and effectiveness, but which they cannot utilize now because the workload provides no free time when such training could be scheduled. More proactive than reactive. I got training and I got proactive versus reactive in there. What am I missing?
Could say something like
intervention and youth programs, I guess.
We could say so. Opportunity for officers to undertake training opportunities that they desire, comma.
Something about that. An opportunity for opportunities. For officers to undertake training
opportunities. Comma.
Okay.
Take out that. The officers take out the opportunity for. Just read it that way. It would also provide for officers to take advantage of training opportunities. Instead of saying it would provide for the opportunity for officers to take opportunities.
That's right. You have two opportunities, right? So we would change the text to say it would also provide officers.
For officers to undertake.
Also provide for officers, so take out the opportunity.
Right.
Provide for officers to undertake training opportunities, comma.
Opportunities
out, yeah.
Take opportunities they desire, take out that. Benefit their skills, then you would need a comma.
But we need to now insert some reference to intervention and youth.
Yes.
Right? So let's figure how we're going to craft. Okay, here we go. And additional staffing would give officers a time to be more proactive than reactive, having the time and opportunity to meet and develop working relationships with. Have the time and opportunity to participate in intervention programs and intervention programs with youth and develop working relationships with businesses and citizens outside of service calls. How does that sound?
Okay.
Write that down, Jeff.
And additional staffing would give officers the time to be more proactive than reactive, having the time and opportunity to participate in intervention programs with youth and to meet and develop working relationships with businesses and citizens.
Because that's one of the central arguments of increasing the staffing, to relieve the pressure off of calls for service so that we can do the more comprehensive community policing approach.
Oh.
It's the mental health co-responder program. Benefit their skills.
Okay.
Sounds good to me. Suggestion for Kids Hope Alliance. Final whereas the commission recognizes that a new sheriff, a new mayor, and a new city council elected in the spring of 23, office July 1st, 2023. Office, comma, Kids Hope Alliance, comma, other prevention programs. How does that sound?
That sounds good.
Okay. Semicolon, now therefore, be it resolved.
Mm-hmm.
Help, Jeff?
Sure.
Like the fluff.
Well, I mean, that's the intent. It is the intent that we understand that a comprehensive approach is just not putting, you know, officers in the street, in the beats. It's also addressing the prevention side and the, you know, intervention and building relationships. That's our goal.
Yes.
And we can't do that without adequate staffing to pull the pressure off of the calls for service.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yep. I will change the adopted by to the 8th of September.
It's our first official resolution. All right, any other changes?
I move adoption of this resolution as amended. I think this resolution embodies the intention from the report that I presented in August and which was approved unanimously. Logical conclusion of that. Yes. I think we could proof it. I mean, we're adopting the resolution subject to verification of changes in text. That would be my thought.
Well, I'm thinking you're going to vote on it right now, so this is the time to make sure that anything you want in there is in there, and then when, yeah,
circulate for our proofing of the language and spelling, et cetera, not content.
Yep, you're right. Okay.
Jeff has done a great job of making sure that he got our work.
I do believe so. So I will send it out to all of you in the next couple of days and then wait to hear back from you before Daniel signs it. Okay.
And I'll do it electronically so that way it won't slow down the process.
I want you to make a special trip down here and sign this, like John Hancock.
Give me a special pen for that too. All right, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
opposed? All right, show the motion adopted. Which means, since we're in new business after that, we need to probably discuss what our next big project is going to be. This resolution kind of brings it in. Obviously, with further discussion, we would have.
It does. I mean, the report, this resolution sort of encompasses a lot of what Commissioner Roberts did with the peer evaluation. Our discussions early on in the Kids Hope Alliance, which that information gives us a basis for incorporating the reference in the resolution. What would be, so this was sort of a revenue and utilization of expenditures approach.
Yes.
When I ask this, I'll probably. Is there a recommendation? Can the council auditor's office make an observation about an area that would be worthy of scrutiny by the True Commission? Without putting you on the spot. Any ideas? Y'all ever sit around the water cooler and go, you know, I wish this True Commission would do something like.
That's putting him on the spot.
We have our risk management risk plan, audit risk plan, and like I said, I haven't seen it, so I'm not because I'm not on the audit side, but so I don't know what they have made plans. Off the top of my head,
I had a citizen ask me about. A lot of time on repairing streets and potholes, and they never seem to be of sufficient quality to have any duration. They seem like they have to go back and fix the same pothole 6 months later. Mm-hmm. Then I asked this person, you know what, I wonder how much inefficiency there is in the whole public works program, the whole public works department with maintenance. And because we were just kind of brainstorming, and it was like, well, you know, you see city workers on the side of the road, and it seems like you see two people digging and you see four people supervising. And I'm probably not the only person who's made that observation, or that my friend made the observation. So I'm wondering, is there maybe some way we could dig into the efficiency, cost effectiveness of public works? Has there ever been an operational audit of city government to determine best practices that would be?
Whole city government?
Yeah.
That, but.
It's done in components, but never comprehensively.
The only thing I can think of that might be somewhat like that is when we elect a new mayor and they have a mayoral transition team and they appoint a team on economic development and a team on HR issues and a team on capital needs, and they probably do some kind of a study, or I mean they put together a team of people who are experts in whatever that committee's field is that can offer their, you know, expertise on how the city's doing and what the new mayor could do differently or better. Might be able to find the Curry transition team reports on
when they came in 2015.
Yeah, if that, I mean, that's one thing that comes to mind anyway, of sort of a review of the whole government. It's done, like you said, in silos by topic areas, but I mean they recruit 50, 80, 100 people and assign them to these committees and advise the mayor on how they can go about making changes when they get in office. So
I have a friend who served on the transition team from Peyton to Brown. Maybe I'll pick his brain a little bit. Find, was there a comprehensive report compiled, Jeff, in 15?
I think each of the committees produces a report that, I mean, I don't know if they ever put them all together, but each of the committees reports to the incoming mayor and whoever his transition team is.
11, I think it might have been Chris Hand who handled that for Alvin.
I wouldn't doubt it.
Remember? You were only in fourth grade back then, but...
I was not in fourth grade. I was in...
But Chris Hand went on to become chief of staff.
Staff, yeah. So,
but I can't remember if he actually served on a committee since he was the incoming CAO, or...
Was he CAO? I thought he was chief of staff.
Chief of staff.
Chief of staff.
I thought Karen Bowling was chief administrative officer.
Normally they have a chair of the transition team.
Right.
Somebody from their campaign, more than likely.
Do we know who it was for Mayor Curry in 15? Does that institutional memory exist in this room?
I do not recollect who the transition chair was.
I'm sure it's somewhere.
Which part would you want? Because I have the list now.
2015. Who was the chair for transition?
Tom Petway, Rihanna Coughlin, and Charles Moorhead.
The three of them were the co-chairs?
Yeah, and they had subgroups.
Anything that jumps out?
Infrastructure was Ed Burr. And it has all their handouts and meeting stuff on the website.
Is that on through the mayor's website or just on the city page somewhere?
It's called Transition Information.
Okay.
Can you send that link to Mr. Clements and he can distribute it to the members?
Just going to respond to the email where you sent our meeting reminder, so you should have.
Be the chair.
Yes, sir. Do you have an idea?
One of the things, even while I was, as you know, employed for a number of years, that I always wondered about was contract administration. I think that's a real big problem. Other than people need to do their job,
which reminds me, when I was doing my research before I joined the commission, it's also something that we've actually worked on. I don't know what
I remember the topic coming up.
You did, yeah.
I think it was Mark L. Hassan. It was kind of a one-man committee, as I recall. We sent out questionnaires to departments, and if I'm remembering the right project, sent surveys out to the departments and asked them how did they manage their contracts and who kept the copies and who ensured that the terms were being complied with. And my recollection, vague recollection, is that they maybe didn't get a whole lot of responses back.
Well, I just know that it not only, and it's not only in public works, trust me, but a lot of things get, quote unquote, started, projects through the city, and invariably they end in an overrun or they get done late. Not on track, and it just seems that somebody's that signed isn't doing the proper tracking, and if something does happen or something, nobody knows about it. It's kind of until it's too late or past the point where, it's going to cost the city extra dollars. Projects don't get completed properly, or there's changes made that don't get notified about. It just seems like the contract administrators, I think they probably need more training to how to do the job if that's it. Because sometimes you just have somebody in public works, he may be a supervisor, You got a project to fix this, It's a contract, it gets how do they get awarded, what merit there is to get awarded. It just seems like the whole process is just, yeah, that's a good word for it. Once the contract's issued, everything gets quiet. One day somebody realizes, that's supposed to have been finished last year.
I'm interested in that, too, because I'm curious to see, and Mr. Freeman kind of talks about it a little bit when he was talking about ITD in terms of the solicitation process, but there wasn't really any discussion in terms of contract management. Like you're talking about after solicitation's over, the bids have been awarded, they've signed the agreement. What happens after that in terms of actually maintaining the agreement?
Results in a lot of, potentially, I'm sure it does already, results in a lot of lost funds or lost revenue that haven't been put forward without anybody really having dual oversight that somebody knows about it. Some things, there's issues that come up in every contract. There should be some transparency in what's going on and how it's done and what do you have to do to get it done. Transparency is there. That process isn't lined up for everybody to use the same steps to get in a contract from the beginning to the end. Group may do it this way, this may do it this way. You've got the same project, you use the same program, the same, to do a project. You've got the same steps. You get the project started on it, you assign people to it, and you run it through to the end. It doesn't make a difference whether it's public works or ITD or risk manager or whatever. The process should be the same for all of them, where there's some transparency and regular updates on the contract as to what's going on with it. And I don't think that happens now.
No, even the state does that. Like if I wanted to go and look at a state term contract and just go to the DMS website, see the contract description, see everything. I have one question for you. When you were in service, do you remember what role procurement kind of played in that, your experiences?
Procurement, to my recollection, was involved in getting the contract out to bid. Once it comes in, once all the bids come in, they select who's the best, because I put some contracts. Approvals or not, And once they approve the contract and say, you know, you're done, you know, then it's up to the, from my record, it's up to the department that recommend, you know, getting the contract to follow up with the rest of the program. They get it into the point of being awarded, and once it's awarded, it's passed on to whichever department division. There's no follow-up from them that I know of, from procurement. I don't recall any.
So what is the process for the city to determine that they need, quote, an outside contractor to perform some function or some service? Do the departments put together a finding, okay, we need an outside contractor. We need to compile a request for qualifications, then requests for proposals. The bidders submit their proposals or submit their bids, and then there's an evaluation process of the bids and, quote, an awarding of the bid or an awarding of the contract. When that process begins, does the city come up with, all right, based on this project, it's our estimate that this contract should be $5 million. But then when they go through the process of getting qualifications and proposals and then the bids, everything comes in at $7 million. So where's that differential? Do we know what might drive that differential?
I think when the process gets started, they look at the scope of, and I'm going to use this example, tree removal. There, all over the city, there's trees with circles painted on them, X's painted on them, that need to be taken down. And the scope of that project.
Because they're on city-owned property.
City-owned property, correct. The scope of that project was so large. 1,400 trees on that list. I'm not sure what it is now, but there's no way the city employees, i.e. Public Works, who's that's underneath, could ever begin to make a dent in that process. So they put out an RFP for tree removal, and it goes out to whoever's on their list. They have a list of approved vendors, and then they wait for, you know, is to come back in.
And then there, for that proposed service, there may actually be pre-approved vendors.
Yes. All that's in order to be a vendor to do business with the city, you have to get pre-approved.
Okay. And you would be pre-approved for some particular service area.
But you'd submit your there's a big application, and they submit that to the city saying, I want to be on the list of vendors, and there's a certain qualifications and stuff they have to provide.
I want to provide widgets
and all the rest of stuff. And then if you get on that list, then when they come up with a needed service,
you would be given a copy of that solicitation.
But then the city would send them out once the department decides they're going to do an RFP to get that service. Then the department has to write up the scope and what they need, all the particulars, submit to procurement, and it goes through a process because they have to make sure the insurance right and vendors have the insurance. It goes through all that. Once all that gets done, it's sent to the vendors, tell the vendors on the list. And they'll make given the X number of time, whatever time, to do their RFP and the proposals and get them back to procurement. And then there's a grading process. Mm-hmm. Go through that. They may or may not select, maybe there's 10 on the that they submit. They'll knock it down to maybe two or three top ones and maybe do an interview or, you know, depends on what the service is or what the business is. Put out they'll approve the contract, you know, to select what the vendor is, and then it goes back. That goes back to whoever requested that RP for closing it, to get it done and closed.
So then under that contract, that would be a contract for services. There would be a contract administrator or contract manager within the various departments in the city.
Should assign a contract manager.
And it's going to be up to that person to determine that the scope of the contract was fulfilled.
Yes.
All right.
Supposed to follow it from beginning to end.
So what about for services that the city performs directly through city employees going out there and digging, you know, fixing the pothole? How much of that is contracted out as opposed to being actually performed by Public Works? Do we know that?
I don't know an exact percentage. I think fundamentally what they do is they obviously they've got a list of all the work that needs to be done. They have a budget to do it with, and they have a certain manpower complement. And I think the department head basically says, you know, we could do these up to this level. Beyond that, it's going to take too much of our time away from everything else we have to do. We better contract that out. And so, like Public Works, I'm sure a chunk of their budget every year is going to be set aside for we're going to hire contractors
Private
to do the work.
Okay.
That is above and beyond what we can do with our crews.
That especially comes into play if you have natural disasters.
Yeah.
Memorial Park, the whole ballot, pretty much the whole ballot got what's swept out. Part of that due to that safety. So I got a little bit of that. That was a super long term project.
What was your area in the city?
I was a city safety officer, senior safety officer, worked through the risk management, out of the risk management office.
Part of finance and administration?
Okay. So, trying to hurry that up, it became a lot of people said, it's got to go back like it was. That mandated a whole bunch of contracts because I had to find somebody to make a mold. On the scope of the job, whether the city can perform it. Sidewalks, but curbing and stuff, that's a different story.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Depends, and if the department head says we can't do this, he's going to request an RFP to get somebody to do it for him. ITD says this is something beyond us, they're going to say, hey, we. Once it gets approved, it's handed back to the department, and whoever put out the RP to follow it through to the end.
Add it as one of the two. Did you have one that you wanted to possibly explore?
My other thing is more like a city council level. I know you're.
Mm-hmm. Neighborhood justice. That's what I call it.
So we have Public Works and Infrastructure. I think the only other one that.
Can I make this observation? Maybe it's possible to incorporate your concerns into the infrastructure and public works spending. You could actually allocate it by zip code, by census tract, however the city within city council district. I mean, there are various ways to track the geography.
That goes to where I was going, because one thing is that it's very difficult to get that type of information from the city. I mean, JTA kind of does it because they have like I was just on their website a second ago, because I remember during the gas tax discussion, one of the commitments that is it Mr. Ford?
Nat Ford.
Nat Ford committed to was that there is going to be a website where people would be able to go online and track every single project that was being utilized by the gas tax, and that people would be able to look at the progress, look at the spending, and see how it was going. Because I think that was one of the things that Carver
kind of like did. The school board did with the half-cent sales.
I was going to say, I was just on their website within the last 2 or 3 days of all of the schools, where they stand, and that kind of stuff.
Do you know if JTA has actually fulfilled that? Because I was on their website, and I couldn't find it. Did something different from that?
I do not know.
That would be the basis for a letter from the True Commission to the JEA.
There is on it's still being developed some, but that does show the projects has pending. So much to be spent this year, things like that. Has various street projects, has the Emerald Necklace, Emerald Trail projects there. It's I have it upstairs. It's like JTA Jobs or something like that. I've gotten to it from using that website instead of going to their website, but it should be a link somewhere on their website.
I remember, you're right, it was a standalone. I just couldn't remember what it was. They had a mock-up or something during the
Try Googling JTA Jobs and see if that
bus drivers
yeah. Which at some point they were giving like pretty hefty signing bonuses for looking for a job,
buddy, with a commercial driver's license.
I'll
$10,000 is $10,000.
I've got it upstairs. It's in I'll send it to Jeff, and he can send it out.
Okay. So that kind of goes into my third thing, is, and it may rope into Public Works and then something separate, but I would love it for Public Works to be able to have that same level of visibility, because I think a lot of times one of the main complaints that you can hear through city council meetings or through CPACs is that people have no clue what where the money's going, particularly when it comes to Public Works. And unless you're making a detailed request, great. If there was some kind of like public dashboard, just like what JTA supposedly has for public work projects, particularly when you're talking about CIP spending, to know what projects the city's working on, what the timeline is, want to be able to go on a map and actually look at that, because at least for like, for example, JTA has it on their what they call the JTA Mobility Works, and it's kind of like this. So it's tracked in a sense where you're able to look at the entire city and be able to and actually see what projects are going on, and then it gives you project details of a write-up as to what's going on. Very, very much beneficial when it comes to the gas tax, the CIP funding, and any other public work things that are occurring, because it gives more transparency to people to be able to know where the tax dollars are going. And that's what my third thing was regarding tax dollars. One of the things that when OneCloud was kind of launched was that it would have the capability of being able to have public facing module for people to be able to see at least the budget process and know where the budget is as opposed to just going through the 3-page PDF. But that doesn't seem as if it's been a priority like I suspected that it probably would have been. So that's an area that I kind of want to explore. I know finance has a whole bunch of things they're working on. But I think this should be a long-term goal that the city publicly provides a face for people to be able to truly know where their dollars are being spent. event because the website with the PDFs just doesn't do it. Outside of like the first public release of the mayor's budget and the news stories that kind of go around it, that the print in TV media do, that's really the only time the community has any kind of inside view in terms of where the money is going. But outside of that.
All right.
That sounds like a game plan to me.
All right, so at our next meeting, we can kind of do the same thing that we did last year by going into greater detail in terms of a timeline and what aspects that we want to actually target in these projects. And if anyone has anything else that they want to add in terms of places that we could explore, that could be a possible place for us to be able to discuss that. Any other new business? Our next meeting is going to be on October the 6th, barring any other particular surprises. That will be the next time that we will be together. With that, can I entertain a motion? Adjourned. Thank you, everyone.